Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Cinderella Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, and R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. Tonight's topic is going to be about why can't you compete where you don't compare? I admire the statement. The slow and steady always win the race. The reason being is because everyone has a unique path and journey in life. It is only right we as people should be able to acknowledge there is no competing where we don't compare as far as living our lives on separate journeys. Therefore, I think it to be a success when people measure their progress by the standard of their own, but by the achievements of others in life. When people measure their progress by others' achievements in life, it'll provide a blueprint and direction for them to follow while they create their own footprints in life. However, when people are competitive by nature and not by the standards of hard work and justice, it's like setting oneself up for failure. When you have a competitive nature and it's not something that you do innately. So competing where you don't compare can be just as destructive as having a competitive nature that does not match to the life you are actually living. Pretending to be something you are not or dealing with low self-esteem is not a good feeling, let alone not feeling comfortable in one's own skin, perhaps because they are competing to a standard of life, a lifestyle or standard, perhaps, that is not supported with authenticity, hard work, or financial stability. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to get right into this show. So I just want all my listeners to know that I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I wanted to talk about the journey, the competition, the difference between success and failure, and the meaning in not competing where you don't compare. So I want to start off with the journey. Everyone has a purpose in life they are living out or serving a purpose aside from them living their life. So they're either living out their purpose or serving a purpose to someone else's plan, agenda, or legacy in life. So that's basically saying that if you don't live out your purpose, you don't live out your life as you see fit, if whatever it is that you're doing in life, whether it's a career, you know, occupation that you have, and you don't feel fulfilled in that position, then most likely you're serving a purpose to someone else's plan, agenda, or legacy in life. You're not really living out your purpose. You just living a day-to-day life, a daily life, because it may be beneficial to you to some degree, okay? And that's just a factual base. But people who are living out their purpose and they feel fulfilled in their path, you know, their journey and whatever it is that they're doing, most likely those people are living with a purpose and they are actually learning, evolving, and growing while they continue to, you know, do what it is that they meant to do here on this earth while they're here in the land of the living. Okay, so that's one part of the journey. Another factor is everyone's journey isn't the same. For instance, when life begins and when life ends. So in that dynamic, how can you actually compare your life to someone else when by nature, the laws of nature, we are born in one period and we die in the next period, you know? And some people say life after death, however way you want to put it, but at the end of the day, it's an evidential fact that There's no way a person compete in that capacity. So that's just given a prime example of everyone's journey being different in life. The next fact is everyone has a degree of selfishness in them. Not all people care to indulge in any selfless acts for another without either gaining something in return or looking for a rain check for another day for something in return. So basically, you know, don't get me wrong that everybody may not be this way. There are some people in the world who are selfless, some people that do donate to charity, people who do have a given nature, and they can afford to give to the less fortunate, you know, and they do it with a pure heart. And I say kudos to those people. But for the people that just live to day to day, most likely is the people who are serving a purpose in life, basically living on purpose rather than living with a purpose. These people have a selfish nature to where they don't understand the capacity of selflessness. Everything is about me, my, or my immediate family. And that is not a good factor to have when going on throughout life or in your journey. You know, people need to understand the laws of giving and the laws of receiving. You know, just as much as you receive, you also have to give. And that's how the universe be able to cater to that cycle of give and take in your life. But when people are stingy and selfish, you know, they live a life of lacking. Okay, so that's just something to think about and to understand that, you know, some people, if they are, you know, doing something in return, some people feel that, you know, if they do something from the kindness of their heart or they do a good deed, that they expect something in return because they don't want to be taken advantage of or all of these shenanigans that they come up with. That is not a selfless act. That is not a kind act when you're looking for something in return back. You know, now if you're not, if it's not an agreement of bartering between someone where, you know, another person has a service that they can provide for you and you provide a service for them back in return, that's bartering, you know, where, you know, you're doing the exchange of service for each other. But when it comes down to you doing a kind deed, but then you're looking for something in return, that is not being selfless. Okay, that is not giving from a pure heart. That is giving from a heart that is gluttony and of greed. Okay, so that is something that I wanted to bring to the forefront. People who are selfless, they give without expecting anything in return. And some people give because they know that it is nothing for them to give to someone, or they understand the laws of give and take, and they're not stingy. There's people that give freely, you know, and don't expect anything in return once again. And it's not anything that's going to be on their conscience of, you know, losing out or anything. Okay. Another factor is everyone's journey has a different experiences. People go through different mistakes and lessons to be learned in their lifetime. So that's another reason why you cannot compete where you don't compare, because once again, everyone's life journey and purpose in life is different. Their experiences, their encounters, the mistakes that they'll make throughout life from a baby on up until an adult, you know, and different types of lessons they're gonna learn from experiences and encounters in life. Another factor is everyone isn't raised in the same capacity or come from the same family background. They're not raised the same. People's religions are different. People come from different parents. The rules and regulations in the home are different. Their belief systems are different as far as how they grow up. So that's another factor in how a person should not compare themselves to another person in particular. Now, going back up to a statement that I made in the opening of my show when I said that how I think that to be a success, where people measure their progress by the standard of their own, but by the achievements of others in life. So basically, when you are progressing in life, it should be by your standards, as far as what milestones and goals are you creating for yourself, to whereas you can feel a sense of fulfillment within yourself for each milestone and goal that you reach in life. Okay, so that's one aspect. But then when you are trying to learn, and let's say something that you're trying to learn in the capacity of the same field that someone else is in, then you can actually measure your progression to that person's experience in the field that you want to be in, as far as the things that they achieve and accomplished in life. This is where mentors come in to help you to become that better person as you create the footprint for yourself in life. Okay, so that is what I meant by that, as far as you measuring your progress and your level of success and reaching each milestone as you lead up to your goals and achieving it, and comparing it to the achievement of someone else. And like I said, giving an example, if someone is in the same profession as you and you're just trying to learn the ropes and, you know, the experiences in that field per se. Okay, so just wanted to give clarity, you know. So now that I talked about everyone's journey, which is why we cannot compete where we don't compare, I'm pretty sure we understand that part, right? But then let's come down to the dynamic of just women and men. I didn't mention the children, because children are going to always have a competitive nature, which will keep them motivated as far as, you know, wanting to outdo their peers or wanting to be better than their peer, or just having a me mind. Mindset. So I didn't really involve children as far as in the competition, but I do want to highlight women and men when it comes down to them having a competitive nature. Okay, so when it comes down to women compete in beauty, power, status, reputation, and materialism. I must say, I can't speak by experience, but I've noticed from observation of just looking at women, especially women of my ethnicity, so quote-unquote Black ethnicity, I've noticed that a lot of women wear makeup. They wear a certain type of clothing, certain type of jewelry, designer clothing, you know, all of those things, bags, you know, designer bags and things of that sort. And it all has to do with the materialism, as far as it having value and it being real. You know, this defines a woman to a certain degree, which it shouldn't, in fact, but it does. Because at the end of the day, when that woman goes out, it's almost as if she's going out into the world to be a character. She's going out into the world to, you know, show the world that she can afford certain type of clothing, you know, designer bags, designer shoes, designer clothing, and a certain type of look. And like I said, especially so-called Black women do this a lot. They do it a lot. And I feel like a lot of us sisters, we hide behind an image that does not coincide with who we are internally, okay? And I just have to put that out factually, okay? A lot of times, we're not even comfortable being in our own skin if we cannot have certain type of materialism or certain type of status or beauty in life, because we're measuring it by the standard of society. Okay, so when it comes down to the beauty, how beautiful the woman look, it's down to her skin tone, her color, all of those things, you know, in particular. And a lot of times women get caught up into the competition because of what society puts out. Okay, and then the power status has a lot to do with what is her profession, what is her career, how much money is she making, does she have a house, does she have a car, does she have a family, does she have children. All of those things mean something as far as as far as her being able to produce and her to be able to maintain her womanhood and other aspects of her life, as far as wearing hats, you know, and still being that, you know, self-sufficient woman. I won't say independent, because if she has a family, you know, and she has a career and she's taking care of both of those aspects, I would say she's self-sufficient, not totally independent. Okay. And then her reputation. Women thrive off of having a reputation, and a lot of times they want to be known for someone on the outside looking in as being put together, or someone who got a good head on their shoulder and things of that sort. You know, they want to be looked at as that per se. Okay, now when it comes down to men compete in ego, finances, and reputation, and materialism. And the reason why I say materialism, because you have some men that love electronics, you have men that love cars, they love jewelry, they love all of those things, and it basically shows or is an implementation to the fact that they have money, even down to the shoes, designer suits, designer clothing. All of those things, big houses, big mansions, not even houses, but mansions, those things define their character in particular. And then when it comes down to finances, how much money do they have? So they expect for their Ferrari or cars that they have to speak for them. But at the end of the day, you got some people that's faking the funk. But those are people who are competing where they don't compare. But for the people who do have the finances, they expect for their materialism to speak for itself. But like I said, even if you got men that is not even caught up in the materialism world, and they not into all being flashy and, you know, spending their money frivolously, there are men that, you know, are egotistical, but there are men that also invest in stocks and things of that sort, and based off of their investments, those things is what brings value to them, because they know that they're leaving behind a legacy, you know, money to keep generating and things of that sort. But those are men who also compete in that capacity as well. And then reputation is, do they own a business? You know, how long have they been in business? Those things mean a lot, because it's either you're creating a legacy in your business, or you are letting your name live on for years and years, or you are just you're just there temporarily, you know, just to go through a motion of having a business. So those things, or just having a career in life, you know, that pays about six figures or seven figures, I would say, in life, and they're making that type of money, and that's just enough for them. Okay, so that's, I feel that it's the ego when it comes down to the men. And then women like to feel they are number one and feel a sense of idolism. Notice I did not say entitlement, but idolism. Like, women, they like to feel number one as far as in relationships, or like to feel special, like they different and unique from any other or every other woman. They don't like to feel as though they are similar to someone else. They like to have their own originality, and like to be of themselves, no matter if they look like the next woman in particular, look similar to the next woman. They like their individuality, I would say, as far as a woman and being number one. They don't like to feel that they are in competition with another woman, and, you know, especially in relationships, because they're going to go through a self-esteem issue as far as being insecure and feeling as though it's that woman better than her, and thinking all of these things like, what does she have that I don't? And, you know, it's just a whole list of things as far as, you know, a woman comparing herself to another woman, you know, and becoming either independent or self-sufficient decision on her own and creating her own path in life is still there, you know. So I feel like when it comes down to women idolizing, women always idolize a certain type of life that they want to live, a certain type of husband they want to have, a home, children, all of those things they idolize in life, and they go through life just doing that all the time, always wanting a better life and, you know, surrounding and things of that sort, environment, being a better environment as well for themselves. So you have some women that goes through that phase, and a lot of times those women are also territorial when they like to feel like they're number one and they're not competing to anyone other woman. So when I say that they are not just self-entitled but territorial, that means they feel like whatever they create, whatever, whoever they taken under their wing or whoever they love and care about, you know, that's who they feel belongs to them. Okay, so women are territorial to a degree when it comes down to that aspect. Okay, now with the men like to feel wanted and respected. Okay, and some men thrive off of entitlement and their accomplishments in life. Okay, and then last thing, women like to feel emotionally validated by the people she loves, including the men in her life, such as her father, uncle, brother, or man she has. Her man could be her boyfriend or her husband. You know, it gives her a confidence boost and a reason to live with a high self-esteem. Okay, so now that I've talked about the journey, the competition, I'm going to talk about the difference between success and failure. But before I even begin to talk about that, I'm going to take a break. Okay, and I am back. So now I'm going to talk about the difference between success and failure. especially when it comes down to a person having a competitive nature, or when they attempt to try to compete where they don't compare. Okay, so success is in the evidence of someone's hard work and efforts in life accomplished. Okay, an accomplishment can look like people that won awards, people who have degrees, you know, people who got the diplomas, or people who won, you know, sports awards or celebrity awards or music awards. Those are evidence of a person's success and evidence of a person's hard work and effort that they put in throughout life. Even if you're just an individual and you work hard towards something, you know, at the end of the day, you are benefiting and reaping the benefits of what you have sown through your hard work and effort. It may not be an award, but you may get compensated for all of the hard work that you've done. Or maybe it can be something that's going to be conducive for you in the future. Okay? Success is when a person lives within their means and spends responsibly. You know, a lot of times, spending could consist of investments or making major purchases. Okay, so when you are able to spend responsibly, you know at the end of the day that you reached a financial cap and that you are going accordingly to what you will spend and what you will not spend. So that can also measure a degree of success in a person, because there's a difference between a person making an investment in their future compared to someone who's going to buy a Ferrari, or compared to a woman who's going to buy a Louis Vuitton bag. That's just something that's just temporarily and that is fleeting. But for the person who invests their money for something that's going to benefit them in the future, that is more success and warrants success compared to a person buying the Ferrari car or buying a Louis Vuitton bag to reach a success as far as, you know, trying to prove to society that they got it like that when they don't. Okay? So, now, failure. Failure is when a person develops a false sense of pride and ego while pretending to be something they are not. Okay, I feel that when people pretend to be something that they are not, they go through periods of self-sabotaging themselves, and they go through a period of embarrassment. Because when you try to hang out in a social circle and you know you don't got the money, your pockets is not long, and you know that you don't got it like that, and when people realize that you don't have it like that, because let's say an incident or something happens, and you know financially you know that you cannot cover whatever it is, or you cover it and then you put yourself in deep debt because you're trying to impress somebody else, or you know, keep a status quo in society amongst your friends or circle. And it creates a lot of stress at the end of the day when you try to live beyond your means. Okay, so that's another aspect of failure, is when a person do live beyond their means and spend money frivolously. You know, they accumulate debt, and metaphorically they dig a deeper hole for themselves as far as being in debt and causing themselves to be in a financial status that warrants instability, whereas they're going to have to always pay out rather than getting a return of money, you know. So it's almost like you're going to have to pay for your frivolous spending, whether your credit be hurt by it, you won't have the ability to purchase or make major purchases such as a home or other things that will be beneficial for you in the future. And that's just you alone, okay? And it can also prevent you from actually getting into a business aspect as well. So if you ever wanted to take out a loan, instead of you taking it out alone, you will have to have somebody co-sign for you, which 9 times out of 10, nobody ain't co-signing for nobody else. And then on top of that, you get into a marriage and you're in debt. That's not a good look, because at the end of the day, that means that that person is going to take on your debt. And at the end of the day, you're supposed to have a clean slate when y'all both, when you come together or in union with someone. So that will be damage as far as you even getting a job. You know, jobs will look at your credit to see how your credit is, and if your credit is not up to par, you know, it can hurt you in the end. So as a young or to the youth, your credit is everything. Your credit shows that you're responsible with money. You're responsible with paying back what you owe, and you don't just spend your money frivolously. Someone had taught me that when it comes down to your credit, you're only supposed to spend 30% of whatever it is that they give you. So for example, if someone gives you a credit line of $1,000, it is, and you have that credit line, you're not supposed to blow that $1,000 all just like that in one day. You're not supposed to do that, okay? You're supposed to spend 30% of that, which would be $300. So that is what you have to show the credit bureaus that you're able to pay back that money, which you owe. So that's basically how you build your credit when you only spend that 30%. Okay, not the whole thing. Okay, and that's just a little jewel to drop on the youth for those who are trying to establish credit or to get credit. Okay, and last thing, I wanted to talk about the meaning and not competing where you don't compare. So what that means is when a person is trying too hard to be something that they are not by nature, that is them competing where they don't compare. Another aspect is living a lifestyle that they are not entitled to, but is in fact experiencing the ambiance of an illusion of richness. That is someone competing where they don't compare. Okay, so placing your self-esteem in an image or ideal lifestyle or materialism that isn't real or supported by a legit financial status in life. So basically, in other words, people who are living in beyond their means, and quote unquote, the statement that a lot of people say, trying to live up to the Joneses or whatever the case might be, you know, that's another aspect as far as a person trying to compare themselves to someone, and they know at the end of the day, or trying to keep up with the Joneses, sorry, they know that they don't have the financial status or quote to be able to keep up with the Joneses. Okay, so that's another aspect as far as competing where you don't compare. And then last thing, when your financial status don't match your lifestyle or habits accordingly in life, that is competing where you don't compare. And with that being said, I don't want to knock people who, you know, have dreams, aspirations, and they are ambitious. And those people, you know, have the inspiration to pretend or to what they quote unquote say, fake it until they make it. People who want to live in the now or have or implement certain qualities of how they would be if they did have those things in life and working towards that. I say kudos to you people if you have that mindset of fake it till you make it, but you know it's a step-by-step process and it's not an overnight thing. So I would say do your thing, and if it makes you feel good inside as a person, then so be it. But it is not a good thing when you're faking it to make it in life, but you don't feel comfortable with yourself. You don't feel comfortable with your natural self. That is an issue. Okay, that is what I would say is not cool. Okay, So with that being said, I hope you all enjoyed the show and that I dropped some jewels for my listeners. And I just was inspired to talk about this topic on tonight of why you can't compete where you don't compare. Because at the end of the day, I would say being a so-called black woman in society is not easy. And as much as it is tempting to hide behind an image or to hide behind, you know, a certain type of lifestyle, it's like I'm put at the forefront to just be myself, as far as understanding that my financial status don't support the image that I would like or the lifestyle that I would like. And that has a lot to do with the Most High perhaps wanting me to be comfortable with me, wanting me to be comfortable in my own skin, opposed to trying to be something that I'm not, such as getting breast enhancement or big butt and things of that sort. It's not meant for me to go through that type of pressure and challenges in life. But I would say, do I get insecure as a woman? Yes, I do. Who don't get insecure? But my insecurity does not stem from the fact of being better than or being competitive. It stems from validation. You know, not having, you know, that father figure or man figure in my life to validate certain things. And it has a lot to do with feeling wanted and feeling beautiful from the inside and out. You know, I had a discussion with a gentleman and I shared, you know, some of my insecurities with him. And I told him, you know, I've noticed that there are men that's out in the world that looks, you know, gorgeous, that looks handsome like yourself. And they will be with an overweight woman. And this is not to take no shot over to no woman that's overweight or anything like that. I'm just trying to highlight something. But you have men that will be with an overweight woman who may not look all that attractive, but when it's time for her to look good, she can look good. But she may not be as attractive as a supermodel who looks beautiful and flawless. But you have that man that looks really, you know, handsome, gorgeous, and he will be with that woman. Why? Not because of her looks, but he will be with her because he knows, he sees her beauty on the inside. He knows that she's beautiful inside and out. Her outer may not reflect what's on the inside, but he loves who she is on the inside. And I highlighted that to him. And he brought to my attention, but there's also beautiful women that are in shape. And at the end of the day, you know, they are also beautiful people on the inside and out. And I said, you know what, you're right. But at the end of the day, they're going through their own insecurities, you know. And at the end of the day, I look at it like, okay, some of those women hide behind an image, materialism, and some of them, I'm not going to say all, may not feel that secure. Sometimes they may simply feel the pressure of trying to be something that they're not, I would say. Or trying to maintain an image that is difficult because they know they're not dealing with or healing that insecure aspect of themselves internally, if that makes sense. So when it comes back to me, somebody like myself will have to look in the mirror and literally say affirmations. You know, have a list of affirmations and say that through the mirror to keep my self-esteem high, to feel beautiful inside and out, to not feel tempted to want to hide behind an image and be a character out in the world. You know, people complimenting the character, not really complimenting me on the inside. So this is just basically to relate to those women that are out there who go through the pressure. You may not go through the insecurity. You may feel pressured to live up to a standard of beauty, live up to a financial status, or to have a status quo as far as having that ideal family, you know, husband, children, you know, things of that sort. But at the end of the day, is it worth it if you're losing yourself, losing your soul along the way? I don't think it's worth it at all. I really don't, because you have also have women that'll have everything. It doesn't have to be so-called black women in particular, but there could be other races of women that have everything in life. They have the material, the beauty, the status quo, all of that, but they're not happy on the inside. They're not happy. None of those things make them feel happy, or they feel like it's not enough, because they know that at the end of the day, it's the smallest things that matter that brings the happiness. Not being pretentious or pretending to be something that you're not. So a lot of times, I would say for those women who have everything but still feel a sense of sadness, but to just go on a quest of just selflessness. Selflessness as far as just giving to compensate for that void or sadness that they feel inside, and that will start to accumulate the happiness that they have. Now, for the women, so-called black women who hiding behind the image, I think that at times you should just come out of that character and just look at your natural self. And like I said, if you have to say an affirmation to build up your self-esteem, to bring that sounded mind of peace as far as you being one with yourself, being comfortable in your own skin, being comfortable with who you are, validating your own beauty, your standards and poise and things in life, and not look for it on the outside. Because when you look for it on the outside, guess what? Somebody like myself would be destroyed or feel destroyed, because at the end of the day, instead of me validating myself, I'm looking for validation on the outside, and that's just given a hypothetical. That will tear me apart. So instead of tearing myself apart from looking for validation from other people, I'd rather validate myself through those affirmations and do things that are soothing and healing to my soul to bring a sense of peace. Okay, so with that being said, thank you all for listening to The Memoirs of Her, and bye-bye.